Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. As we came to a close last time, I invited you to read in the final book of the Bible, the Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 1 and verse 18. It is just one verse, and I hope you read it. If you did, you're all set and ready to go. If not, hear now what John writes of his experience listening to the words of the exalted Christ. I am the living one, and I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. And let's get going today in the text by asking, what does Jesus mean when he says he is the living one? Well, again, as we saw yesterday with the title, The First and the Last, living one is a title for God. God is the living one. In fact, you will often hear me refer to God as the living God, and this is why I do that. And because Jesus uses this name for himself here in verse 18, it means that Jesus is God. Jesus is God, which is also something you hear me say repeatedly. Furthermore, living one means that Jesus is eternal. He has no beginning and he has no end. Jesus is before the existence of the world, and Jesus is after this world ceases to exist in its present form. He is uncreated. Jesus has always existed, exists, and will always exist. This means Jesus, the Son of God, is always alive and never dead. And so to make sure you understand that living one is a name for God throughout the Bible, let me quote from a few scriptures. There is a plethora. Plethora, I like that word. It means an excessive amount. A plethora of Bible verses that speak of God as the living one. Here are just three. In Psalm 84, verse 2, the psalmist praises God. Listen to Psalm 84, verse 2. My soul longed and yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. And then in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, Peter famously answers Jesus' question about Christ's identity as such. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's Matthew 16, 16. And finally, in 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, Paul refers to the church as the church of the living God. That's 1 Timothy 3:15. Notice who the church belongs to. He is the living God. Yes, all throughout the Bible, God is the living God. God lives, and he is about to say, I am alive forevermore. And this is in direct contrast to all of the gods, small g, of the pagan peoples that surround the church at that time and in our own time. Have you ever noticed that Buddha is dead? Mohammed, the founder of Islam, who supposedly points the way to quote-unquote Allah, is dead? And there is not one of the multitude of Hindu gods that is alive. And then, of course, all of the gods the non-religious people worship today, taken in the form of dead idols, temples, shrines, altars, icons, televisions, phone and tablet screens, work, and the like. But the one and only true God, the God of the Bible, is alive. He is the living one. Jesus continues with this affirmation of himself in Revelation 1 verse 18, and I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. If you have your Bible there open to the Revelation, you will see that in verse 18 as clear as when you get the right prescription for your new eyeglasses. And this affirms what we have just said about Jesus being alive. And there is that word behold again. Remember, we had that in verse 7 of this same chapter, announcing the second coming of Christ. Behold means look, pay attention, be amazed. And what follows behold is, I am alive forevermore. This recounts the resurrection of the man Jesus from the grave, which we celebrate on Resurrection Day every spring. You most likely call it Easter. Although Jesus in human form, in human flesh, was 100% man, he never lost his deity. He was always 100% God. Jesus was the God-man. As Savior for us, he died and was buried, but on the third day, he rose from the dead. I think the Apostle Paul puts this succinctly and with such accuracy in just one verse of his letter to the Romans. Listen to Romans chapter 9 and verse 6. This is Romans 9, 6. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. And so Jesus, the Son of Man, tells John with a voice that sounds like many waters in the vision of the Revelation, behold, I am alive forevermore. And of course, this provides for a pastoral moment. If you believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, then you accept by faith this glorious truth. One day you too will be resurrected, just as Jesus was resurrected. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our bodies are coming up and out of the grave. John chapter 14, verse 19, because I live, you will live also, said Jesus. Because I live, you will live also. What a promise. And God always keeps his promises. With God, promises made are promises kept. Christians can be confident in this. So for those of you securing your salvation, your rescue from sin, hold on tight to Revelation 1, verse 18. And we will now see how valuable this promise is as we come to the end of this verse. I read now the last part of Revelation 1, 18. Jesus says, "And I have the keys of death and of Hades." And again we ask, what does this mean? Here's what I'd like you to do. When you get to your copy of the Bible, open it to this verse and circle the word Hades. Hades. I recognize that many of you listen while you drive or accomplish some other task, so I know you do not have your Bible with you at present. But make a mental note of this word Hades. Because we have to ask, what is Hades, or where is Hades? And we need to know about Hades because Jesus Christ has the keys to it. Keys indicate that wherever this place is, it's locked, or the door or gate to it is locked. Jesus has the keys that open it. He's the keeper of the key. And the Son of Man must think it is vital because he reveals this to his willing servant John at this juncture of the Revelation. Everything that God reveals is imperative that we understand. That's why this ministry exists. We want to know what the Almighty wants us to know, and we want to apprehend his revelation to us. A second and important reason to know about Hades is that many people reading their Bibles do not actually know what Hades is, or there is confusion about it. So what we want to do together, and this will carry over into our next broadcast and podcast, is to understand what the Bible means by the use of this term, Hades. Pray for me as I attempt to clarify this for you. I am dependent on the wisdom of the living God for everything that I bring out of the text for your consideration. And this is particularly true whenever there is confusion amidst the believers and unbelievers on certain passages of Scripture, in this case, a word in the Bible. This word is Hades. And the first truth I want to give you about Hades is as follows. Hades is a real existing place. Hades is a location. Hades is a destination. It is a place, a location of death. Please notice this. Jesus reveals to John, quote, of death and of Hades. Jesus states it this way because some dead people are currently in Hades, and some people, while still living in this life, are headed to Hades when they die. So in your mind, you must relate death to Hades. And given that Hades is a location, then we can ask, where is it located? And the answer is twofold. First, only God knows. Second, Hades is not located on Earth. You cannot board an airplane for Hades, disembark, and go through immigration there in your physical present body. No. Hades is a place beyond this physical universe that one transitions to following physical death, such that in the millisecond of death, the physical body goes into the grave or is cremated, whatever the case may be, but the soul transitions to Hades. Physical death is the condition that transports the soul of a certain person to this destination called Hades. And by the way, if you do not have your Bible handy, this is spelled H-A-D-E-S. H-A-D-E-S. And now we must stop to ask a question of monumental significance. Who are these certain persons whose souls go to Hades when they die? Which ones among us are going to Hades upon physical bodily death? What I'm going to do is give you the answer now, and then we will explore this further next time, okay? This certain person of whom I speak is someone who is not a Christian. These are people, sadly, numbered in the multiple billions alive today, who reject Jesus Christ as the only Savior from sin, and therefore the only way to God. These are persons for whom their sins are not forgiven, because of their rejection of Christ as their Savior, their deliverer from sin. These people go to Hades. And when you come back tomorrow, I will say much more about this. So do not miss God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.